Today is Wednesday, which means it's not only Big News Wednesday, though. It's also all sorts of other things. I mean, it's Thanksgiving week. We've got J.R. Jackson. I'm shooting from home. J.R., it's chaos. I apologize in advance.
You know what? I wish you'd have told me about this so that I could have prepared myself better. I mean, we're shooting from home now. When does this start? What's the matter with you?
It is kind of crazy. I don't know what people are going to make of it. But what we do have is news. We've got news for you, a lot of it. It's probably gonna be pretty dark, but also very exciting news on this Big News Wednesday. We're gonna be throwing some people in the trash because we don't have a Thursday or Friday show, so we do have to take out the garbage at some point. We're not just gonna let it rot over the weekend. So JR is gonna be helping us choose the garbage people of the week. So that's exciting, JR.
But you know what? You know, speaking of garbage and trash, I usually like to toss, you know, you guys know I notoriously hate Kit Kats, Three Musketeers, and things like that. For today's edition of JR Candies, we have a new version of Kit Kats, right? What? Cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream?
Right?
What?
Right. But the problem is, it also still sucks.
Well, it sounds worse, honestly. I don't think I would want that.
Remember the white chocolate one they tried to trick people with? The regular one sucks already. Kit Kat knows they suck, so they're trying new things.
There's nothing wrong with Kit Kat. You're a weirdo.
Actually, it's not Kit Kat's fault. It's the cookie wafer fault, because a wafer cookie sucks. Let's just keep it real. It ruins everything.
Oh my God, there's so many bad food takes happening all in one week. But anyway, I don't have a problem with them. The problem I do have is that we, in the lead up to Halloween at TYT, got these massive bowls of candy. And I don't know if you know this, for the vast majority of the day, I'm literally the only person in the studio. So that seems like it's a personal attack against me to leave the candy out. And then, okay, we get past Halloween. And now there's just candy again. Huge. I don't even know. It's not even Halloween. What, is this a Thanksgiving thing?
No, I saw that. Someone brought that in to sabotage. That was leftover Halloween candy. And I was going to take it was literally the size of it was a grocery bag size of candy. And I was going to take it. Targeted. Yeah, I was going to take it and help you out. But I thought you may have wanted it.
Oh, I've eaten plenty of it. Don't worry about that. Anyway, so the garbage will be thrown out. Will it be Kit Kats? Stay tuned to find out. We'll be closing the show for that. I'm gonna gradually acclimate myself to this new setup. It's very weird. I can't see the preview, and I'm just so used to being able to see it. It's like over here. So I'm just gonna be looking to the right all day. So that'll be fun. Anyway, we have lots of other news. Please hit the like button, share the stream, all of that. If you want to send us comments, tweets, super chats, all that, we'll respond as we go. But with that said, JR, are you ready to do this thing?
No, I'm ready.
Okay, let's jump into this video. What you're seeing right now is a video released just this week showing guards at the Capitol on January 6th trying to shut these doors. And on the other side, you see just regular tourists doing touristy things, like literally stopping a barricade from going down and then taking over this room like madmen, looking like, you know, background extras for a Purge film. With their Trump flags and their MAGA flags and their American flags, their weapons, they're getting ready to beat cops. And this is just like, look, this is what, I don't know, the 50th video we've seen coming out of January 6th. The right is not going to change their opinion of January 6th based on this for a couple different reasons. First of all, they approve of what's happening in the video. But more importantly, they will never see it. Because the footage that just shows them overwhelming barricades, breaking through windows, beating cops, talking about killing cops, take his gun, shoot him. Fox just isn't gonna play that. Tucker Carlson isn't gonna undercut his own propaganda by showing you what actually happened. And it's just amazing, like, you know, going on a year from this event that we find out more and more terrible stuff. And the only people that will be exposed to it are those who probably already understand to some extent, probably accept to some extent the reality of January 6th. And the rest love what happened, want it to happen again, and will never have to actually take stock of what actually happened.
It's weird how it works, because Look, there's a back and forth here. There's the people who are supportive of this, even elected officials, the Trumps of the world and the Matt Gaetzes and Jim Jordans and everyone who's on that crazed part of the party. They're in support of what happened on January 6th, but they're doing this whole mix. It's like a hybrid. They're in support of them, but they also denounce it in case they get somehow caught up with it. The January 6th committee is garbage and it's just nonsense. But at the same time, you try to keep them from releasing more things about what happened on January 6th. So maybe it's not all nonsense. They're playing so many different angles on this that the people that support them, it's based on strict loyalty to whatever they tell you to think. So they just keep throwing things at them and keep them confused and spinning. So they never really have a direct thing that they're upset about, a stance, a belief, an opinion, because it's never standard. It doesn't stay in one place. It continues to move. So when someone challenges them, if that ever happens, then they don't really have a good answer. But they do know that they do support or don't support, but sometimes support what happened.
Yeah, it's like wrestling a greased octopus, who's also a massive hypocrite. By the way, don't trust what that octopus says. Yeah, they're just the people that you saw in that footage, which they won't see, were all Antifa as they were doing it. Also, they were just inspired by the FBI or whatever. It was a false flag that Antifa did. And then the second they were arrested and put into a jail, they become patriots again. And you should be incredibly grieved about what's being done to these good patriots who used to be Antifa.
Yeah,
but anyway, you want a little bit more demonstrate this? Here's a few fun developments over the course of the past week. So we found out that Mark Mazza is a 56-year-old Indiana man charged with carrying a loaded firearm to the U.S. Capitol riot. Suggested to investigators that he intended to kill House Speaker Nancy Pelosi during the chaos. So you remember when they were going through the hallways and they were chanting to hang Mike Pence, and then they were telling Nancy Pelosi to come out and play and all that. So he had a gun, even though that's so weird because I keep being told that they weren't armed. And he wanted to kill Nancy Pelosi. And that fact, you'll never hear again. Certainly, it's not going to show up in Tucker Carlson's multi-hour special or anything, that there was a guy that wanted to kill the Speaker of the House. So that's cool, JR. We have one more update, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, okay. Now we're going to see what happens with this guy. But you can even admit to crimes. It doesn't matter. You can say it's exactly what I did, and that's what my intentions were. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. Because again, who's going to hear this? You know, who's going to hear this? Where is that reported? What outlets is that put on? Who's tweeting about it? You know, even people who want to point out how bad this was, I'm not even sure if they're going to bring this up. It's the first even of I'm hearing about it once we started doing this. So it's become this hiding in plain sight. They know where they know the realities. They absolutely know the realities. It's impossible to miss it because we see the same thing. It's just a matter of whether or not they're willing to protect the actual important part, which is to push this propaganda.
Yeah. Let me ask the one right winger who's watching this right now. So that footage that you saw, by the way, knowing that there are people in the crowd who are armed and everything. So there were people rioting, breaking into this area. They were trying to shut, remember, private property is the most important thing in the universe, more important than human life. So they're trying to shut him out, and they're breaking in, and they're throwing chairs, and they're throwing things. So presumably, if those guards had started shooting those people, that would be justified, right? I mean, after all, you can't let them break private property. They were coming at them. He could have been hit. One of those guards could have been hit in the head with a chair or something. So presumably, they should have started shooting those people, right? But again, we're pretending that the greased octopus does not have any hard and fast standards, okay? He just slips out, he wriggles out. So anyway, self-defense, very important, sometimes, kind of, depending. Anyway, there was one other fun update. So Kylie Creamer, a top official in the March for Trump group that helped plan the Ellipsis rally. So this is the one that Trump and a bunch of other Trumpies spoke at on January 6th. Directed an aide to pick up three burner phones days before January 6th, according to three different sources involved in the event. One of the sources, a member of the March for Trump's team, said Creamer insisted the phones be purchased using cash and described this as being, quote, of the utmost importance. Now, bear in mind, and Rolling Stone is being very careful in this, saying there's no evidence that the Creamers or the other rally organizers encouraged or planned violence in the group text messages reviewed by Rolling Stones. Okay, so on the bought with cash burner phones on the text threads, there's no indication that they were planning for violence. Now, what was in the phone calls? I don't know. They're burner phones. We'll probably never find out. But we do know that they were used for some pretty high up communication. The three sources said that Kylie took one of the phones and used it to communicate with top White House and Trump campaign officials, including Eric Trump, the president's second oldest son, who leads the family's real estate business and isn't supposed to be involved in politics, is what I was told. Lara Trump, Eric's wife and a former senior Trump campaign consultant, Mark Meadows, the former White House chief of staff, and Katrina Pearson, a Trump surrogate and campaign consultant. So utmost importance that you have these untraceable phones bought with cash. Really important to totally do normal legal planning stuff, you know, regular above board stuff.
Of utmost importance, in fact, to get this done. Why is it of utmost importance to make sure no one can track what you've been saying, doing, who you've been calling, and what's been said on those calls? I mean, we can speculate and say it was for nefarious activities. And when an investigation wants to look into it, you know, we could prove that you weren't doing anything by seeing what you were saying and who you were speaking to and why and when. But, you know, none of that has to matter, right? It's just like the conclusion is, well, we can't look into what happened because they bought these burner phones to cover up what happened. Guess it's it.
Apparently it was of the utmost importance because it does make it hard to say what actually happened. And by the way, we don't know that anything happened. Maybe nothing happened. But I was gonna give an analogy and I was gonna say, like, what would my wife think if she found out that I'd bought three burner phones with cash? But that's not actually a good analogy because that would just be the only evidence is that I had the phones. This would actually be like if in January she caught me in a massive orgy and then 8 months later found out that I'd bought burner phones in the days leading up to the orgy. Like the phones are just kind of, I was gonna say the icing on the cake, and now I feel uncomfortable because of the orgy stuff. But yeah, like maybe they did nothing. But generally, people don't buy burner phones with cash to do totally awesome, cool stuff.
Well, John, you know, at this point, all you gotta do is say that it was your political opponents that was in that orgy and not you, and then it'll be all fine. Your wife will say,
"Oh, it's an Antifa orgy."
That's right.
Definitely, it's just normal tourist orgy stuff. Anyway, that's not the only development in this area. Let's jump into this video.
Look into what really happened that day. It was a deep state operation that almost triggered an extremely violent event at the Capitol. The terrible events of that day, as bad as they were microscopic compared to what the deep state was actually planning.
So that is Alex Jones, a guy who's been doing shows for literally decades, totally gets how to light a shot. And so he's worried that January 6th could have been bad. I mean, like, oh no, it was totally bad. Like I'm admitting, but it could have been worse. But because of the deep state, because of the FBI, I guess.
How did they screw it up?
I don't know. I don't know. God only knows. They're supposed to be all powerful. They don't explain why. Why did it not get worse? I mean, after all, the Trump people did go in and riot. Anyway, and who does he think was there? Like they will say that the FBI had planted informants in it. Well, the thing about informants is that informants are parts of those groups. They've just also started to work with the FBI. That doesn't absolve the groups. That indicts the group even more. But then who was actually there? Who was actually rioting? He doesn't seem to still be saying it's Antifa, but he damn sure isn't saying that it was Trump fans that were doing that. But anyway, that's just your appetizer. The reason that we're talking about this is that the January 6th committee has asked Alex Jones and Roger Stone to provide testimony by the middle of next month about what happened and to provide the panel with requested documents in about 2 weeks or so. So we already know that multiple people, including Steve Bannon, have decided that they're not gonna participate in what the committee is doing. He doesn't plan to either, and he's gonna explain why in this video.
The story was Alex Jones and Roger Stone subpoenaed by the January 6th committee. Here's the problem with that. They will claim I lie about something to the committee, which isn't even true. I wouldn't lie. And then they will have the FBI and the Justice Department indict me for lying to Congress. I'm not stupid. So they've been asking why other people aren't declaring the 5th. I'm probably gonna declare the 5th, not because I've done anything wrong, but because these people are political criminals that have an axe to grind and have been bragging everywhere they want to put me in prison. Okay? I'm 47 years old, don't have any felonies, any of those issues. I'm a good person, a family man, and I don't intend on spending the rest of my life in prison. No, sir. Don't want to have that happen. And so, I don't want to testify before them because they will lie and say that I lied. And I really do want to testify to Congress. And so if they let me testify live in front of the cameras or depose me on C-SPAN, I will probably do it. That way they can't twist what I said later. But I've seen what they've done to other people, and there's no way I'm going to go behind closed doors with Schiff and all these other crazy people and Swallowswell, the Chinese agent, and let them sit there and claim that I've done something wrong or claim that I lied to Congress.
Oh, okay, really fast, Jared, just so I don't forget a few of these tiny points. Totally. Calling Eric Swalwell Swallowswell is just a really weird thing for a guy who claims to be 47. He's definitely older, but a guy, a full grown adult to be saying, that's a weird thing to say. Also, I love the optics of a guy backpedaling as fast as he can while the beep, beep, beep goes off. That's great. And then this guy, like, he can't even sell the acting. He's like, well, maybe if they let me do it, what are you, the stroking of the beard? How fake can you be? Yes, you'd love to be able to shout out that people should go to your website live on C-SPAN or whatever. Honestly, I don't even care. Let him do it live or whatever. It'll be a farce. They love that stuff. But he does have to apparently come in. I don't even know if he knows anything. I honestly, I can't imagine that they would be planning through him this really important stuff. I think Roger Stone is more likely, considering his ties to these different militia groups and everything, to know something. But man, that was some backpedaling, JR.
Yeah, it's constant. Now, he's a family man. First of all, let's make sure you know this. He's a family man. So when he talks to his kids, he talks about Swallowswell, and that's a good family man activity to talk about with any of your political opponents. So he's now, by the way, he's talking about how he wants to have this deposition in private or not in private where they can spin his words. We've seen an Alex Jones deposition when he had to talk about his interactions and what he said and what he did surrounding the Sandy Hook conspiracy theories that he was pushing. Those didn't go over very well. He didn't look good. Mm-hmm. After we saw what he said, I don't think spin was happening. It was just listening and gasps. And it was really like, that's your defense? This guy's not good at these things. Now, again, maybe the reason is to promote himself and save his show, because we saw him begging billionaires or rich people, wealthy people specifically, for money, because that's going to change the whole world. So yes, this is probably an audition to try and generate some more attention and money around his show. But I guess the risk and the gain really isn't going to even out for him, because he's just, it's not even that he's not good at it. The facts just don't line up with you. You can't win an argument when you're just the bad guy.
Yeah, in terms of the facts not lining up, like that video was very long. I had to watch more than 5 minutes straight of Alex Jones this morning. That was a weird experience. But anyway, he said a lot of crazy stuff. He said, so what he was presenting was that this is so amazing that this is a deep state plot. You're familiar with this. But did you know Trump was doing everything he could to stop all of what was going on that day? That's why he sent people to the Capitol. No, seriously, he says Trump asked for the National Guard to intervene and the National Guard denied him. I don't even think Trump is claiming that. I have not heard Trump say that. No, Trump was desperately trying to get the military to come in to save democracy from these FBI informants who are holding Trump fans, but somehow aren't Trump fans. I don't know. He said that the kidnapping plot against Gretchen Whitmer was a false flag too. Both were planned by the same FBI agent. He admits he was working with Ali Alexander, which might be one of the reasons they want him to come in and testify. But it's just too bad that Trump wasn't able to save us as he was desperately trying to do so.
It's been pretty obvious. And again, that's one of the main points that people don't know if they're not following how close this has been. One of the main points that they're looking to investigate is who talked to Trump, and also some of those audition tapes, or I guess cutting room floor recordings of him talking about quelling the violence when he refused to do so. And his handlers kept saying, you gotta tell him to go home, Mr. Trump. You gotta tell him to go home. Yeah. He's like, no, that's the whole point. But you can, now, by the way, you can prove how much he wanted to end this by showing us the tapes. Just show it to us.
Trump literally, okay, so we're like 3 hours into the riots. According to them, Trump is like on the phone, like, generals, I command you, save democracy. And then he puts down the phone to the generals and types out on Twitter, if Mike Pence had had the courage to do what he should have done, why would he be saying that if behind the scenes he was desperately trying to stop them?
Yeah.
The whole thing is just, but is it? It's not one of the craziest things he said even this week. So it's definitely not going to break through to his followers.
The reason it's not going to break through to his followers is because it took you 12 seconds to explain that, and they don't think that long.
They just like the idea that Trump was in the right. Like, oh, I've been heard that like this is actually really scary and it's like a bad precedent for democracy. Wait, it was, but we're the good guys in it. Yeah, that's pretty appealing, I guess. If your brain is made out of moldy butter, yeah, that's gonna appeal to you. Anyway,
John, I got icing on cakes and moldy butter imagery from you already today, man. This is a disaster.
Don't mix up the icing and the moldy butter. Okay, you'll ruin your cake that way. Or your cakes up. Anyway, okay, we gotta take our first break. When we come back, Kyle Rittenhouse admittedly has been through a lot, not prison, unfortunately, but he's been through a lot. Thankfully, he does have a new buddy. We're gonna show you after this. Okay, everyone, prepare yourself. Jump into this video.
I know you met with Kyle Rittenhouse.
By the way, I have to say, Kyle, I got to know him a little bit. He called. He wanted to know if he could come over and say hello, because he was a fan, unlike the other guy. He came over with his mother. Really a nice young man. And what he went through, that was prosecutorial misconduct. He should not have had to suffer through a trial for that. He was going to be dead. If he didn't pull that trigger, that guy that put the gun to his head, in 1/4 of a second, he was going to pull the trigger. Kyle would have been dead. He's a really good young guy. He's 18 years old, just left Mar-a-Lago a little while ago, and he should never have been put through that.
Okay, so that video serves as a reminder of a few things. One, that Trump was encouraging vigilantes all throughout 2020. You might have forgotten that. Two, he doesn't actually explain why that would have been a bad thing. I mean, that guy had a gun pointed at Kyle Rittenhouse and was about to pull the trigger. Kyle Rittenhouse had a gun pointed at him. If the first gun justifies the second one firing in self-defense, why does that not work when you flip it? I mean, after all, if the first guy had shot and killed Kyle Rittenhouse, he was saving his life. Kyle was about to kill him. You're even saying he should have killed him. But again, there are no standards here. The overall point though, JR, is that he's very happy to have Kyle Rittenhouse as a fan. Now, we're not supposed to assert anything about his politics or how that might have played into his decision to go to Kenosha. But we do know he's now made a documentary with Tucker Carlson, and he flew across the country to hang out with Donald Trump. So, but don't learn anything from that, JR. Don't try to draw any lessons from that.
Well, the one thing you can learn from what the former president was saying there was that the judicial system doesn't need to exist. He said he should have never even gone through that. He should have never even put on trial. So what do we do when someone gets killed? What if it's someone that you don't like? What if it was the congressional shooter who was shooting the Republicans, who was more left-leaning? Should there be no trial? I mean, we know that, you know, he got caught up and everything. So should we just not do it? I mean, is it across the board? Is it we don't have any trials? And there's no arrests, there's no convictions, there's no charges at all for anyone who shoots anyone in the country? Or is it only who you deem shouldn't have a trial?
Yep.
It sounds like authoritarianism to me. It sounds like it's supposed to be based strictly on your politics only. That's not a judicial system. That is a punishment system for people who disagree with you. And it's a release system for those who agree with you and do your bidding. That doesn't sound like America to me, but for some reason we're accepting that as a normal thing these days.
Yeah, Again, we want these standards. I will just Google Grease Octopus. You should know how this works by now. So I personally think that the cop that shot Ashley Babbitt, they did an investigation. They definitely should have done an investigation. Not according to Trump. It was self-defense. They shouldn't have even investigated it. It's a bizarre thing to say. The whole thing is bizarre. And look, now the photos are out. You've got Kyle Rittenhouse doing the Trump thumb there. In that photo, he's posing. That guy was president. It's insane. There's a photo of him and Kim Jong Un in the background. You've got this next photo is Don Jr. didn't make this. I doubt he knows how to load Photoshop, let alone Photoshop something. But the son of the former president is just a guy that gets memes and posts them online. That's what his life is now. So yes, so not only would Kyle Rittenhouse not go to jail for killing multiple people and putting himself in a position to do that where he never should have been, he should actually be honored, the greatest honor that an American should get. And they are joking in that it's a meme, but they're not joking in that, yes, to the Trump movement, these are the best things you can do. There are two people they admire. I talked about this on the pre-show, Ashley Babbitt and Kyle Rittenhouse, for two reasons. Ashley Babbitt was willing to die for Trump. Kyle Rittenhouse was willing to kill for Trump and the MAGA movement. And that's the point of view. You should just give the elites what they want by losing your life or taking a life. And then you do all of that and then they stay rich and they stay perfectly fine. They're never gonna be involved in any of this. But that's the function that you as a tool for this movement should serve.
Yeah, make no mistake, this is a call for more Kyle Rittenhouses. It's happening. JD Vance did the same thing. He says a real man does what Kyle Rittenhouse did. Kyle Rittenhouse, I thought was a boy. When he was crying on the stand, I thought it was, this poor kid. He's just this kid. He's this kid. Now he's a man. And every other man should be like Kyle Rittenhouse. He's 18 years old, as Donald Trump said. Now he's a man. Now they're making shout outs to their foot soldiers to be more Kyle Rittenhouses. This is the only thing they need him for. They need him to be this face. Just like the qualified immunity things that they push for police officers to attract them to the job. You're gonna get away with things if you come and work for us and do the things that we think you should do. You should commit violence. And after you commit violence, you should get off, just like Kyle Rittenhouse. This is a perfect scenario. This is what we need. This is a call for more of this, and it's blatant and it's open. There's no mistaking about it. The people that are watching, that are supporters of this guy, are going, sounds like a good idea. Am I a real man?
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, like, you know, there are plenty of former mass shooters, school shooters that didn't even expect to live past their crime. They thought it would make them noteworthy. It would make them a national figure. So maybe the next Kyle Rittenhouse does spend a little bit of time in prison, but he's still gonna be a hero, still gonna be a legal martyr at that point, maybe even more so if you end up going to jail. And you'll know that they will give you documentaries. And they will raise millions of dollars for you. And high profile whack job right wing lawyers will donate their time to you and probably grift you and steal your money, but they won't learn. So think about the incentives that they've set up. Like you had for years, you had Project Veritas would bring people in to lie about their experiences working for different places or whatever. And eventually the story would fall apart. But long before that, their fans would believe it. And always the person that comes in, Project Veritas does a crowdfunding campaign for them and raises a bunch of money, $50,000, $100,000, even more. So even if you get caught, you made a bunch of money. Now, in this case, you could kill people. And whether you go to jail or not, they will give you a bunch of money. And eventually you'll run as a congressional candidate on the right. Like someone responded to the Don Jr. thing saying definitely should make a run for mayor of Kenosha. It's not even from Kenosha, but again, they don't care about that. They've just created all of these incentives for violence, objective bad things, except from the point of view of a right wing movement that wants this violence and chaos because it creates fear. And fear makes their followers compliant. They don't ask questions. They don't expect anything. They're just given what they want, the negative emotions.
This Guylo 88 who said Kyle should run for mayor of Kenosha. Now, just peel back two layers of this. Why should he run for mayor of Kenosha? Again, this is power from the government. I thought we were against government, but you need Kyle Rittenhouse as the mayor of Kenosha. Why? Under what policy? Under what platform? What is it he's gonna do, Guylo 88? What is it that he's gonna do to make you happy about Kenosha? Yeah. What's gonna change in Kenosha because Kyle Rittenhouse is the mayor? What does that do? We talk about how this disenfranchisement of voters and elected officials, and we see the redistricting maps all over the country and how they're eliminating people's. There's power in who holds positions in the government, but they're trying to act like the government's all these evil entities of people that you disdain and oppose. No, they want to implement and put people in these places because there's a stranglehold on which kinds of policies will disenfranchise certain people that disagree with you. It's not, hey, he's gonna make things better for everyone in Kenosha. It's he will continue to stomp on people that they dislike and promote people that they do like. That's not government officials. That's not how representative democracies are supposed to work. But that's where we are now. Yeah. Without even thinking about it. It's just he should be mayor because he's going to push our policies and make it more unfair. That's what
exactly.
You're
looking for? There are literally no expectations. Like what do they support Marjorie Greene because she spent years as an activist coming up with like novel legislative solutions to her constituents' problems? Are they like Madison Cawthorn or Matt Gaetz? But it's just, yeah, you did something that like you trolled. Like now you should just be in charge. Because why? Like that's the thing that they like. And there's no expectations, there's no responsibility or obligation once you get this position of authority. Trump came in and spent 4 years, he built a bit of wall and he did a lot of messed up things. And they're happy with that. They liked that. They didn't have any higher expectations than that. Why would they have expectations for Kyle Rittenhouse? They would, like, there are probably millions of conservatives that would love to have one of those, like, sad ape NFTs as mayor because, ha ha ha. Because all of this is a joke now. They've been trained to think of it. It's the political nihilism that AOC has been talking about over the last week or so. That is what we're up against.
Yep.
We're also up against is in the next few minutes, apparently there's gonna be a verdict in the McMichael case. We're gonna be waiting to see what happens from that. I don't yet know. So we're gonna push on to our next story and probably take a break. When we come back after that, we'll probably, okay, they're gonna read the verdict. Should we take a break right now so that we can come back and talk about it afterward? Maybe we should do that. Yes, okay, we're gonna take an early break, maybe throw a bit of chaos into our thing. We'll be back after this. Okay, so while we were in our last break, we've started to get details. The details are still super sketchy. Do we have anything more before I launch into this? We just have the one result. Okay, then we'll go with that. Okay, the verdict is now in, literally being read as we're saying this, in the trial of the McMichaels, the gang of white men who decided to grab guns, jump in a truck, hunt down and murder Ahmaud Arbery. As of right now, Travis McMichael has been found guilty on all counts. Greg McMichael's verdict is being read. I am not the savvy, you know, legal mind you need. We could bring in like Adrian Lawrence to figure out ahead of time why they would be different results. Apparently he is being found guilty, but not on all counts. Okay, we're gonna be getting more details as we go. But JR, it's looking like a fast deliberation and actual guilty verdicts.
Yeah. I mean, it happens every once in a while, right? It's a little too open and shut on this one. And which again, you can see this indication and you can probably see it in many kinds of media responses. As this was going, I like to check in sometimes on conservative outlets, specifically Fox News. And as this was happening, the degree to which they've talked about the details of this trial as they've unfolded versus what they were following on Rittenhouse is astronomically different.
I think it's 13 times difference.
I mean, it's not a surprise, but it doesn't get any clearer to what the agenda is, who they support and who they're against. Now, they know that this is what was bad. I'm sure they're not gonna come out with, well, I can't be sure of it, but I would assume they wouldn't come out with op-eds and articles about how this was a bad decision. So when it's these types of things that are open and shut, they can't give a social, I guess, assessment of where we are because of events like this. They just kind of ignore it and act like it doesn't happen. That's why anytime something is so obvious and blatant that happens from conservatives that commit this kind of violence, they just kind of don't talk about it so that the next time they can go back to saying it doesn't happen. Tucker Carlson can continue to say there's no such thing as white supremacy in the country because he ignores these instances of it. If he talked about it, he can't go on the next day and then say, yeah, so by the way, people keep talking about white supremacy, you're crazy. Because then people who watch him will go, well, yesterday you just showed it because it's there. You have to ignore it and say it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's like what we've talked about a lot on all of these. And again, like there's distinctions rightfully made on mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC versus like independent progressive media. Those distinctions don't make any sense on the right. Whether it's Ben Shapiro or it's Tucker Carlson, they are news shows. But they're news shows that can't ever actually talk about what's going on because there are actual issues in the world. And if you talk about them, as JR is saying, well, then people start to learn a little bit and they start to expect you to do something. They can't get into this. That's why they don't cover it. It was indisputable in this case that this is a modern day effectively lynching. They believe that this guy did something wrong. screw the judicial system. We're just going to go and we're going to kill this person. And that looks really bad for them. So they just don't talk about it. They certainly don't talk about the development since then, by the way. And you might be led to believe, well, sure, it's 13 times difference in coverage, but like it's so obvious. Maybe that's why you don't have to talk about it. No, no, no. They've given us plenty of reasons to talk about it, and we have. When they craft what they think is going to be a friendlier jury, apparently that didn't work. So good. Let's acknowledge that. But that would be a great inroads talking about how juries are manipulated historically in the United States. When the lawyers for the McMichaels regularly came out with these insane racist comments intending to bias the jury against Ahmaud Arbery. You could talk about those things, but you can't talk about those things because then you have to talk about race and racism and bias and prejudice and all of that. And by the way, we're seeing Gregory McMichael guilty on all charges except one count of malice murder. Again, I'm not the legal expert. I do see that Adrian Lawrence tweeted, "Take him away in chains." And I like that. I don't mind that, JR.
It's good legal analysis there. Yeah. So yeah, no, there was, when you saw the Hail Marys happening, we all saw this was going on. There's plenty that could be talked about with this trial. And by the way, there were many what people may see as middle of the road or liberal or progressive outlets that talked about what's going on in the trial with Rittenhouse. So yeah, the coverage does happen that way. Now, if we're talking about the judge or the crying on the stand, all those things were covered, you know, from both sides. It's just, it's a matter of whether or not how people took it. It's covered though. Like you can, the problem is conservative outlets like this can't cover it in any kind of way, because then they'll have to defend it, because this is who their audience is. This is who their supporters are. So to cover it, you kind of have to show what's happening right in front of us. So you just don't do it.
And, sure.
You know, sure. It doesn't work out that way from what you would.
And people are saying that the specific charges having to do with malice murder is talking about that the beginning of the entire incident was motivated by a desire to murder, which is obviously much more difficult to prove. It's obviously clear that they were willing. You don't grab a shotgun because you're really against violence and everything.
Yeah.
William Bryant's verdict is being read right now, guilty, but not on all counts. Maybe it'll end up being the same thing about the malice murder, but.
Now, William Bryant is the one that was filming, right? Who was the third?
I believe that that's true, the non-brother. And so, look, this is obviously, this is more like justice, but it's like potentially an end, but it's still like Ahmaud Arbery doesn't come back. You know, maybe a lesson is sent out there to other wannabe, again, vigilantes. Maybe this will help to counterbalance a bit of the incentives being given to people to take the law into their own hands. But I will remind you, in this case with Rittenhouse, we talked in the pre-show about the woman who ended up getting shot. She was pregnant. Like, if these people did not walk around regularly with guns, none of these people would be dead. Okay? Kyle Rittenhouse was not gonna have his head bashed in with a skateboard. That simply is not gonna happen, especially if he's not in Kenosha. If they hadn't had their guns, Ahmaud Arbery would not have killed those three men with his bare hands. And probably they wouldn't have killed him either. The guns allow things to escalate instantaneously to death. That's what happens. We need less guns. There's a lot of other stuff that we can talk about, but that is a clear takeaway. In all of these cases, people's lives would be better. Ahmaud Arbery would be alive. They wouldn't be going to jail likely for the rest of their lives. Kyle Rittenhouse would not be facing multiple trials that are gonna take up the next 10 years of his life. Oh, and by the way, the people he killed wouldn't be dead either. The world would be a better place if these people weren't convinced that they need to constantly be armed for war.
Well, we convince them first they need to be afraid, number one.
Yep.
Convince them everyone's coming after them. It's part of the fear tactics. Remember the caravans, the drug cartels are coming, you know, those Muslim terrorists are coming. All these constant things about how you should be afraid of something. And once we get beyond whatever they were afraid of, there's a new thing to be afraid of. So that's why the masking things are happening. That's why the anti-vaccine stuff is happening. You have to always be afraid of something. And regardless of what you're afraid of, when it comes to medical issues like we're talking about here, to immigration issues, to economic issues, to your job security, all of it ends with, but you gotta have your gun to make sure that doesn't happen. It all circles back to, but you gotta be violent in response. Now, the easy way to be violent is to have a gun. If you have a skateboard and you have to beat someone to death, that's gonna take a lot of blows to the face and the head, and that's gonna get gruesome, and it's probably gonna be burned into your brain for the rest of your life. Or if you're gonna jump on somebody who's running through a neighborhood, you gotta beat them to death. That takes a lot. And are you willing to do it, or can you just squeeze this trigger a few times and that's easier?
100%.
It's the coward's way to do it.
Yeah, look, maybe I'm crazy. I don't think that people regularly beat other people to death with their bare hands during like arguments on the street. I don't think that that generally is what happens. I understand there are movies and some people just believe everything they see in movies. That doesn't generally happen. It is very difficult to take a person's life with your bare hands. It is very easy if you put a gun into that hand. And if maybe I'm biased. I'm not making money off the sales of guns, I guess.
Yeah. And if a jury sees video of you literally beating someone to death, that's pretty gruesome. And they can have a judgment on your mindset. They see you shoot someone, they're like, oh, he was just scared and he had this reaction. Sure. It's a lot less of an indictment on your character if you're just squeezing the trigger.
By the way, I want to read just a little bit more from Adrian. It says, the fact that the jury did not find Gregory McMichael on all counts is a good sign. It shows they applied the facts to the law. You don't want the defendants going to the appellate court saying the jury found all defendants guilty on all counts, indicating that they didn't understand, etc. By not finding guilt on each and every count against all three defendants, the jury's decision reflects thought. That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there still will be appeals for literally years. And by the way, I have no interest in them being executed by the state or whatever. Again, I'm not a greased octopus. I have actual standards that don't just apply to people like me, but to everyone. But anyway, I'm sure we'll find out more, but this is just the immediate reaction from myself and JR.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, JR?
No, not from here.
There's very little that can be done to make the family feel better. But this is certainly better than what I had been worried was going to happen. Okay, with that, why don't we jump into very different stuff? Why don't we move on to D? How about that for now? Okay, is that okay? I'll give you 1 second. I'm gonna read just a quick comment and then we'll do into that. Arthur Ashbrook says, hey John, are you gonna invite JR and Brett to be part? I'm not reading that. I'm gonna say part of your Thanksgiving celebration. How about that? Rather than what you actually wrote. But thank you, Arthur Ashbrook. Sure, if you wanna stop by, I'm gonna have some food. Maybe I'll make some pie.
I'm cooking, bro. We gotta make it all happen. You're not too far from me.
Yeah. Venom Emin says, John, love the background. Please do yourself a favor and get some frames. I'm sure you can get some at a local dollar store. JR could probably give you some tips on framing wall out. I don't know if you know, there's like 80 of these pictures. How many? I would bankrupt myself trying to frame these. This is tape. They're just taped to each other, but thank you. This is not supposed to be a really official sort of thing. This is just my nerd shed. Anyway. with that, okay, let's jump. Okay, I apologize, this is super unprofessional, but that light is just gonna keep on flickering unless I do this. There we go. Hey, that's actually noticeably darker. I think I've seen Anderson Cooper do the same thing on his show, actually.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, and also how when you turn off a light, things get darker. I'm not sure if you knew that, John.
There's four bulbs. I turned off one and I have a ring light. Get off my back. It's going to be as dark as Alex Jones's shot in here soon. Beep, beep. Anyway, okay, with that, let's jump into this. I know it's still a long time until 2024, but look, I can't fight the buzz, and the buzz is rising for a likely candidate in 2024. I saw it on Politico. The Buttigieg presidential buzz has penetrated the White House. But I have to say, in this case, I'm pretty sure it's like scream. I think the buzz is coming from inside the house, actually. I'm gonna read what's at the bottom of this thing. So it said, okay, we should get the picture. I want you to get the full effect. Anyway, since 2010, he has run for treasurer of Indiana, mayor of South Bend, chair of the Democratic National Committee, and president of the United States. Yeah, how many of those are doing? Anyway, at 39, he is one of the most omnipresent and newly powerful members of President Joe Biden's cabinet. But he says he's not thinking about what comes next, even as he's buzzed about a potential Biden heir. This is not about him. He's not getting ahead of himself. He just loves transportation. Dude loves trucks and trains and planes. That's why he's there. It's not a stepping stone. It's not to set up a run or whatever. And he is just as caught up in this thing as the rest of us. Everywhere you go around America, you hear it. Pete, Pete, Pete. And eventually they're in the White House. So they're like, we can't work. And they open up the window and it's Pete, Pete, and you can't deny it, JR. The buzz is sweeping the nation.
I woke up thinking about Pete Buttigieg this morning. I mean, the buzz was there. It's crazy. It was a bee that flew by me. Instead of buzz, I heard Pete. It's crazy. Like, the buzz is real, bro.
Pete.
So this, again, we always know this about any politician. This is not a Democratic versus Republican thing. Anybody who has these aspirations for president, they have a long, long process how they were thinking about how they can get there. So do we really think Pete Buttigieg would even be in the position that he's in now in Biden's cabinet if he didn't run for president and have that, I don't know, window of glory that most presidential candidates have when there's a big field of in the primary? You know, everyone had it. Look, what was it? Who's our doctor, the brain surgeon who tried to kill his mom? I'm blanking on his name.
You talking about Ben Carson?
Carson. Carson had a moment of glory in the Republican primaries.
That's true, he did.
Everybody gets their moment, except for, of course, the bottom tier guys. So if he didn't get that moment of glory, do we really think he would hold the position right now? Which, again, is supposed to propel him to that next stage. Now, we knew there from the general consensus of the establishment of part of the party, it's, oh, this guy's a new rising star. That's why he got this next position. And I'm not necessarily mad at that, but it has to be manufactured hype in order to get people to think about him again.
Which is, that's what it is. I mean, look, I'm not against him trying to do all of these things. Sure, run for whatever you want. And I get why some centrists, the status quo is great Democrats, are like, sure, he's young, you know? I get it. And nothing against him. He can do whatever he wants. And by the way, let me just say, because we were talking about Buttigieg quite a bit during all the paid leave stuff. The people who literally can't talk about him for 5 seconds without making some sort of disgusting homophobic joke can literally go to hell. It has nothing to do with anything. But we can see manufactured hype. Brooke in the chat says it's very Tobias hyping up the Funke name around the office. Like, he definitely was trying to put a water thing on and then fell while talking about this Funke guy. This is like, Politico has this story about him. That's just his team talking to Politico. That's literally all it is. And he's gonna play into it. So let me read some quotes. I'd say the other thing that I'm really enjoying about this job, although it's very demanding and obviously requiring a lot, is that this is the least I've had to think about campaigns and elections in about a decade. And that's a very good thing, he told Politico on Friday, amidst people in hard hats and bright yellow safety. Is this a campaign hat? You don't have to mention the hard hats. He said he's not contemplating the race to be Biden's successor. He's just thinking about tires and road signs and stuff. That's all. He's rolling up his sleeves, you know, like, suspiciously. So that Politico had this article about the buzz. Then in the playbook, it's buzz grows about Buttigieg 2024. Then their daily briefing for the day is about the buzz around Buttigieg. The buzz is you. It's like you making mosquito noises and being like, will someone shut a window?
I'm not sure what else there's more to say, man. It's I can't follow that. It's really good. It's pretty straightforward. The question then is this because the supporters of Pete are working at Politico, or the people who wrote it specifically, or because they're like, well, this is the next best thing, and they really do think there's buzz? Because sometimes it's manufactured buzz, but they really do think it's real. Sometimes people buy their own BS. It's just what it is. And that's the only question left, is because this is a little early. Isn't it supposed to be after the midterms when the buzz starts? And honestly,
gotta get out in front.
Even if I'm thinking that he's tired of running for office because it's been 10 years of his life, my very next follow-up is, so you're not gonna run for anything else? Since you're tired of running.
Definitely, definitely. By the way, I'm glad that you brought up the timing. Why? Let me ask the audience. Why is this coming out now? I think there's a fairly easy answer to that. Do you know what it is? And I'm not saying these are connected. There's been a lot of negative stories about Kamala Harris and, oh, she's getting really unpopular keeps tying herself to all these really unpopular things. And he talks about, I'm glad to be working on the same team as Kamala Harris, literally putting himself on the same level as the vice president. Look, whether he is playing into that, I have no idea. but he's definitely exploiting an opportunity. As soon as that Kamala Harris starts coming out, that stuff starts coming out, his team is like, oh, did you hear there's buzz? West Wing, East Wing, Rose Garden, everywhere we go, a lot of buzz about this Buttigieg kid.
John, anyway, you keep Kim with these conspiracy theories, bro. You're gonna have to put on a tight shirt and start growling at people. Listen, I'm gonna let you guys know.
Baby. Beep, beep, beep. Anyway, sure, run. And that's why, like, I'll have more to say as we get towards that campaign. Don't worry. It's weird who the buzz tends to go around in DC and who it doesn't.
All I'm saying is wealthy people.
We're out of time, unfortunately. We got to end this first hour. We'll have more. So don't go anywhere. We got lots more news, including Garbage People of the Week. That'll be coming up for you on Twitch, YouTube, and the Members app after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.